Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the special meeting of the Gallup City Council for Monday, March 16th. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Abeda.
Councilor Palachek?
Here.
Councilor Wondolazzo?
Here.
Councilor Kamara? Councilor Garcia?
Here.
Mayor McKinney?
Here. Ladies and gentlemen, based on the current status of our nation and our state of New Mexico, as the power that is invested in myself as a mayor, in accordance with the state, I declare a public health emergency from the Department of Health for the city of Gallup. We're going to go through a few agenda items. The city staff will disseminate orders and precautions that we implemented last Wednesday and Thursday to preserve the health and welfare of our citizens and the staff of the city of Gallup. So with that said, I'll start with Mr. Hayes, who was acting manager during the time that we received the notices from the governor's office and the Department of Health of the state last Wednesday afternoon. And we put into effect and prepared all of our facilities for Thursday. So we have a lot of information to disseminate. Mr. Hayes, if you'll start with your first discussion item of the closure of city facilities and public events due to the state public health order.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, Mayor and Council. As you know, the governor came out, actually the Department of Health Secretary came out with a order on March 12th, which was Thursday last week, doing a number of things, but the core of what it did was to restrict what then was defined as mass gatherings. What I've handed out is an update that was issued this morning from the New Mexico Department of Health Secretary, and it has some additional guidelines where she's added some restrictions on bars and restaurants, operating at no more than 50% capacity. She has not yet, and I'm assuming at some point we may see this, limited the definition of what a mass gathering is down to 50. So what we did on Thursday was went through what are the city facilities that are mandated to change what we're doing based on this order, but then are there additional city operations which really need to be curtailed because of the health crisis. And so on Friday, I issued a directive that is already to some extent out of date, but there are a couple of parts of that directive that are still in effect. First, we looked at what are the city facilities that should be closed because we've got a lot of members of the public coming in and they're really not essential services. And so the directive starts out with a order closing the El Moro, Red Rock Convention Center, Aquatic Center, Gallup Senior Center, and with the Senior Center,
Office on Aging
has issued some guidelines on how senior centers can continue to provide meals. And basically they're going to be providing meals in a couple of ways. One, for the folks that would normally come into the facility, they're going to have a drive-through system to provide box lunches, basically. They are going to be continuing the Meals on Wheels program. They're asking that recipients of those programs set something out on the porch, is the latest guidelines I saw, so that the person who's delivering the meal can leave it there and not have any interaction with the residents. And as far as you know, you're shaking your head, Jay, like that is as far as you know the current.
That's correct, and if a senior is unable to answer their door, we do open and set it right on the door and shut door.
Okay. Additional, additional facilities that'll be closed include the fitness center, Cecil Garcia Fitness Center, Larry Bryan Mitchell, Harold Reynolds, the library and the children's library are being closed. The Veterans Center, which is used to be the Southside Senior Center, and the Boys and Girls Club, which operates out of the Senior Center. So we also looked at city employees, and this is one that probably needs to be reevaluated, but the directive was that all employees would report this week as regularly scheduled. I think this week, or today, directors are going to be looking at on their seasonal employees, which of those seasonal employees are providing work that really needs to continue, and how long should we continue those seasonal employees. A lot of them work for Vince's department. They're out in the public doing the work in the parks and our facilities that needs to be done. But how are we going to handle our employees is something that the real city manager will need to take a look at this week. We also directed that all events that are at city facilities be canceled, and that we contact whoever's booked those events in the El Moro at Red Rock Park, the special events center, those sorts of things. Now, the initial order from the New Mexico Department of Health did exempt weddings and funerals. We decided that we would cancel all events regardless. And additionally, the CDC came out with some guidelines yesterday that are a little bit more restrictive than the New Mexico Department of Health order. And it recommends that all events, including weddings, also be canceled. And I think we're pretty much in line. I would like to follow the CDC guidelines in that regard. We don't have a wedding planned at any event until, I believe it is April 4th, which should give that party enough time to find an alternate venue or to cancel the event. It looks like it was going to be a pretty large attendance at that event. The order that came out from the New Mexico Department of Health Secretary has directives that apply to city government. It also has directives that apply to private parties. And so one of the things that we decided last week to do was to go out and notify directly any private entity which has a venue which could support a group of 50 or more gathering, and just apprise them of what the Department of Health has ordered. And so at the time we were intending on attaching the March 13th directive from the Department of Health. We're now going to need to update that because of the additional guidelines that she's issued on bars and restaurants, which is going to add considerably to the number of businesses that we need to contact to let them know of what the guidelines are. But we don't want there to be any doubt by the merchants or the nonprofits, any entity in the city of Gallup, that these are the guidelines that have been issued by the state. These are the guidelines that you need to comply with. And there's a lot of information that people are receiving. It's a massive amount of information that you get by watching the news. And sometimes it's hard to sort out, as the city manager pointed out this morning, which of this, what applies to Albuquerque, what applies to New Mexico, what applies to the entire nation. And so we would like to get the information out to the businesses and the nonprofits in Gallup. These are the guidelines that apply in New Mexico, and specifically these are the guidelines that you should be following in Gallup. I think if there's anything else we need to cover as far as the directive. As you know, things are changing rapidly. We had a directive come out from the cabinet secretary, Kunkel, is that how you pronounce it? Catherine Kunkel. And that was on March 13th. 3 days later, she's come out with new guidelines. And it wouldn't be surprising if we're seeing that kind of change happening for the next few days, that the restrictions get more and more restrictive on almost daily basis. And so we're going to have to basically keep monitoring what the Department of Health is telling us to do, adjust city practices if we need to, and I think get word out to the public as far as what the guidelines are for businesses. And I know Chief Morales is going to be giving an update as far as what the recommendations are for private individuals, so I'm not going to get into that as far as what they're recommending in that regard. So that said, I have standard questions.
Questions, Council?
Question, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Curtis, on the part here for our seniors, I've had a few of our seniors contact me, and on this documentation here, it talks about home delivery meals and transportation services. Some of our seniors are saying that they're being told that only in an emergency are they going to be able to have transportation services provided to them.
I'll have to check into that. Do you?
No, I think part of it is coming from the medical facilities and then not wanting transport of non-emergency people to the hospitals or taking people to a facility if they're not sick and bringing them in there. So it's coming down from the health side of things on kind of non-essential procedures that are being done.
Yeah, the guidelines that I saw from the non-metro
area
office on aging did not have restrictions on transportation, but it may be that, as you said,
I think it might. I'll follow up on that, but I did hear that there might be coming from the medical facilities requesting that.
Yeah, because I think that some of the concerns out there, some of our seniors have certain services that are provided to them that help to keep them healthy. And if they're not receiving those services, they could move into that category of becoming an emergency. And so that's their concern. So I hope that we get that cleared up as to what we can do and what we can't do to make sure that our seniors receive the services that they need so they can stay healthy, because they're a very vulnerable group of people based on all the information that's been provided up to this point.
Right.
Councilor, could I ask just for a point of clarification, are the kinds of trips that we're talking about, like going to a doctor's appointment?
Doctor's appointments and those kinds of things, yes.
I do know the hospital has closed most of their physical therapy, and some of the individuals I know that are elderly that were going up there have been told to figure something out at home, and they're not allowing them to go up there. It's just a precaution to try and isolate the individuals as much as possible. So that's part of it.
Mayor and Councilor, if I could just make a comment. In the press release that went out, it's clear that we agreed that we would take them to their medical appointment. So we'll ensure that that's the case. But I appreciate John Young telling you that it may be affected on the other side. But we'll look into that, because that was not the intent. Our intent was to take them to those appointments.
Okay. And the other point I wanted to make here or ask, and maybe Chewy's going to cover this on his discussion, but our homeless population and being able to address them in the field, you know, how are we going to give them, they're going to need services, they're going to need to be possibly checked to make sure that this kind of thing is not spreading among our folks that are homeless out there and on the street.
Yeah, Mayor, I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's going to be part of your presentation or if we have talked through that process.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, we talked about that this morning, and that's okay. Something that, I don't know if that was part of the presentation, but it is a concern all around, and he talked about how it's being addressed. So good question. Appreciate okay. that.
Thank you.
And we might, as I sat through some city staff meetings this morning, we might need to disseminate all the information that we have available to us and then go to questions. We might have some answers, some questions answered during the presentations. So unless there's any burning desire right now, we can continue on, and then we can open it up at the end and get direction. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. So let's go to your, you know, we have a runoff election coming up at the end of the month. So there's discussions about how control the numbers of people in the council chamber. Mr. Hayes?
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, the city clerk and I were discussing how election night, when folks are waiting for the returns, is a public gathering where we should have the same health concerns that we would have in any other kind of public gathering. And he alerted me to a statute and the election code, which would allow us to restrict the number of people that attend on March 30th when the votes are being tallied and announced. And so NMSA 1978 section 1-12-29 provides that only the members of the precinct board, candidates or their representatives of the news media, and lawfully appointed challengers or watchers may be present while the votes are being counted and tallied. And only members of the precinct board shall handle ballots, signature rosters, tally sheets, etc. So we are going to restrict the attendance to candidates plus an additional person. So each candidate will be allowed themselves or a representative and then one additional person. Two people, basically. Plus the media and everyone else that's by law required to be there. And so that was something that, because it affects the election, we felt that you should be aware of the action that we're taking in that regard. So would that also stand for questions?
Any burning desires right this moment? We know that on election nights, the final results should be available with only two people, candidates running. The final results should be available between 8 and 8:30. So if people just have patience, they will know the postings will be on the door. And any media that is here, if we have any radio media, it helps. But if we just have print media, people have to wait till the next day. It will be posted immediately on our Gallup City website. So people can be patient and buy between the hours of 8 and 8:30, you will have the information on the website. And that will eliminate people from the need of coming down to check results. We'll go on to item number 3, and the update on the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Chuy Morales.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Council. So to give you a little background, the COVID-19 was first discovered in Wuhan, China in December of 2019. Since December, this virus has spread to over 116 countries around the world and has affected over 153,000 people globally. And that's with over 5,735 deaths. So what does that mean? This COVID-19 is now considered and declared a pandemic. So what is a pandemic? Pandemics happen when new viruses occur and it reaches out to people. It's getting carried through animals, through people, and it's global. The reason for a pandemic is a lot of times these viruses are so new, people are not immune to the virus that's coming. Pandemics are very serious. There's four phases of a pandemic, and I want to go over those with you. The first phase begins with the investigation phase, followed by recognition, then initiation, then followed by the acceleration phase. And it's through the acceleration phase where the virus peaks and pretty much everybody that's gonna get the virus, and it all peaks, and then you start the deceleration phase as it starts to wind down. Currently in the US, there's 3,774 people that have been confirmed with the COVID-19, and that's with 47 states reporting. Unfortunately, there's been 60 deceased. So different parts of the country are seeing different levels of COVID-19. The United States nationally is currently in the initiation phases, although there are several states that are more in the acceleration phase, such as California, Washington State. So with New Mexico, as of this morning, there's been 17 presumptive cases and over 583 tests conducted. So right now we are in the initiation phase, meaning that most of the viruses that have been that these people have gotten have been from travel, going to other places where they were in an acceleration phase, where meaning where it's starting to spread community-wide. So right now, by isolating and doing what we're doing with the governor's directive to get a hold on the mass gatherings and things like that, that puts us way ahead of the curve. If we can isolate to those people that just to those folks that have maybe that traveled, and unfortunately some of the cases that have been reported this morning are new cases from being in close contact with those patients that have traveled, so being in the same household, that such, but still nothing with it. We have controlled it to where it's not spreading community wide at this point. At this time, locations within New Mexico or Socorro County, there's two been reported: Bernalillo County, 10; Sandoval County, 2; Santa Fe County, 3. And like I said, most of those were from traveling. So some significant dates: and New Mexico has declared a public health emergency on March 11th. Navajo Nation has declared a public emergency on March 11th. From the governor's office, emergency public health order was issued on March 12th for mass gatherings. A proclamation by President Trump declaring a national emergency concerning the coronavirus outbreak was on March 13th. So moving forward, the risk to Americans is relatively still low for most Americans. Now, the most vulnerable are the elderly, 60 years and above, with underlying medical conditions. These are our concerns within our community, and by us making adjustments, shutting down a lot of these mass gatherings, that's going to help us hopefully curb the community outbreak, because as you know, our community hospitals have limited number of rooms and spaces available. So if our elderly community, if just several get sick, that's going to start putting a damper on resources, challenges for resources locally, for hospital, for emergency response, and for many of the healthcare workers. So as again, our older adults, especially the ones that have heart disease, chronic heart disease, diabetes, lung disease, those are our most vulnerable. So currently, here in the city, what we're doing and the status is we're continuing to monitor information daily from the centers of disease control and our New Mexico Department of Health. We continue to meet and share updated information with other agencies and jurisdictions to continue preparedness activities, planning and conducting patient drills. Counselor Landavazo, you had mentioned what we're doing with the homeless population and how we're screening them. I have met with the police department, and we have conducted one drill since on Thursday. That was, I believe, March 11th. We've conducted a drill where we actually had a patient, a suspected patient with COVID-19, and what we tested was the CSA's ability to properly screen these patients at that level. So they're asking them the questions: have you traveled out of state? They're going to be checking temperatures. They're looking for signs of respiratory illness or distress, especially like coughing and things like that. If any of those signs or red flags are presented to them, at that time they're going to request for an ambulance to come and transport that patient to the hospital rather than taking that patient to detox center. So we do have measures in place. We're going to be conducting more drills with our CSA so that we can work out more of the bugs that we're, those challenges that we're still facing. But I could tell you that day it went really well. Our fire department personnel were really impressed with the CSAs. They were asking the questions, and they determined that patient was a suspected COVID-19, and arrangements was made. They called the ambulance, and from there we took the ambulance. We took that patient up to GIMC, and then we got to see their process there. So we hope to continue with that and working with RMCH as well to help us, you know, work these challenges.
Chief, I have a question.
Okay.
So when you did the drill and the suspected person they took to the hospital, they congregate with more than one. What happens to the others? Because if he or she was found to have the virus, wouldn't the others be affected also? What do you do with them?
You know, at this point, it would be hard to track. Those are some things that we can potentially look at on who he was gathering with or who they were gathering with. But a lot of times that information isn't available at that time.
Right.
It's going to be a challenge, and those are some things that we're going to need to work out, especially if we take a suspected patient and they have the test done, and then it comes back as positive, then that's where the tracking piece, and that's it. You brought up a great point for us to, you know, to ensure that we're thinking about that, because it's not only them, but it
right,
starts to spread out as well. So those are some things will be added to our tests.
Can I add an additional piece of information? Is that in addition to the CSA screening, when they get to Gallup Detox, they're doing an additional level of screening also.
That's correct.
So if they slip through the CSA level, they're also taking temperatures and asking questions. And so just kind of a backup to the initial screening, so there's two levels.
That's correct. I know Dr. Wave from GIMC is working with Dr. Foley, and they are screening patients as well at Detox, because there are some of those patients that may bleed through, and it's important that we are able to catch those early on. It's going to be a challenge. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. If we get people exposed there and trying to isolate and expose, that's going to be a big challenge for this community.
I think that for this council and the public to know, they were proactive. IHS was proactive with Dr. Foley at NCI, and that program started Wednesday or Thursday last week. So they've already been doing it to this point. At least they started early, and hopefully it's been productive at this point.
So, Chewy, another question on the NCI issue there. So if indeed we find someone that has the symptoms and maybe is tested and says, yes, they do have the virus, you know, is there a section at NCI that will be called a quarantine space for those individuals? Because they're not wanting to put them into the hospital. They want to quarantine them in a space, whether they're, and they don't have a, probably most of them don't have a home to go to, so is there going to be a space there? How is that going to be handled?
That's a really tough question. I know that Detox Center has isolation rooms, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they would be acceptable to house or isolate patients there with the rest of the clients there. We are looking at other locations. We are working with the schools as well to determine other building and locations that we might be able to isolate clients, because GIMC had asked the same question, where are we going to take some of these patients that need to be isolated if they can't go back to their houses? And we brought that up with the McKinley County schools, and they do have schools available. There's still some discussions to be made, but with all the classrooms, that might be some locations where we're able to isolate individuals into different classrooms. But then again, it's going to come down to also the resources and the personnel that are going to be needed to do that. So those are going to be some more challenges that we're having to work out, that we're planning and hopefully preparing for.
Joey, could you just mention, since we're talking about homeless and Detox, mentioned about going out and visiting. There are other shelters in the community besides NCI, and that have people, a number of people that are very close together. And so we talked about that this morning, and you want to talk about site visits.
Right, site visits. So our fire prevention office, we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to keep them. They're not going to be going out and doing fire inspections, code inspections at this time. We're gonna focus on COVID-19 and reaching out to our different businesses, finding out where we can assist them, maybe with Pub Ed, getting them information on COVID-19, flyers, that sort of thing. But they're also going to be visiting with our other shelters and seeing what we can do to assist them. Because at this time, we don't know the shortfalls for these shelters, and we don't know if they're screening. So we're going to go out and visit these locations to kind of get a feedback from our business community, along with the shelters, and seeing what we can do to assist to ensure that operations continue.
Mr. Mayor, I was told by some street people this morning that Casa San Jose is closed. And I will inform you that Catholic Charities will no longer have a drop-in breakfast program. Today was our last day. We will be handing out box lunches or box breakfast tomorrow morning from 6:30 to 7:30. And we'll continue to do that. We won't allow them to come in and sit. They're going to just have to take their breakfast and leave, simply because we can't have everybody in there, because we don't have a mechanism to screen.
Thank you.
So kind of winding down, we're still encouraging prevention measures. We're hoping that people just stay home if they're sick. If they have any questions regarding whether they should go to the doctor's office or the hospital, there is numbers that they can call. The coronavirus hotline is 1-855-600-3453. And locally, people can call GIMC Hospital at 505-726-5888. And at RMCH, that number is 505-236-1074. So prevention measures, having people stay home if they're sick, avoid all non-essential travel. We were talking about out of state, but even in state, we got to watch our travel going to these different communities, different counties. As I said earlier, it's still where this is an initiation phase, but it could easily get out of hand. And if we don't take measures now to minimize that impact, minimize that wave of when it hits McKinley County, we're gonna be in trouble. So I think a lot of what we're doing now is gonna help curb that, and we're gonna be able to manage this in little bites rather than trying to serve the whole community. And again, just washing your hands frequently with soap with water for at least 20 seconds, clean high touch surfaces areas daily, and avoid sharing personal household items. So with that, I stand for any other questions.
We're going to continue to go on. I know Mrs. Ustick has some updates from this morning to you, so we might have questions for you in a moment. And before Mrs. Ustick goes into her presentation, I want to make note that these restrictions and mandates are updating daily. We already saw information this morning that we didn't have over the weekend. And it's going to become more restrictive. We know that as you've looked at around the United States and around the world. Common sense should prevail without panic. People will use the common sense and do what is being suggested. They should be able to maintain without going into the panic phases that some people that are insecure might do. There's a lot of incorrect information that is abundant out there. Therefore, as the city, we have directed the city manager to quickly, consistently, and precisely disseminate to the public the correct information, and this will be a daily update. We are making phone numbers available that Mrs. Ustick will present to you to call with any public concerns. And as we did Thursday, when the mandate came from the governor on 100 or more gatherings, we moved quickly. And my comment to the city attorney, who was acting city manager on Thursday, is that we will err on the side of caution. If it inconveniences people, I don't think that hopefully and pray that we don't get into situations that countries that are shutting down and not letting anyone leave their homes and self-isolating. I hope we don't get to that point, but we will err on the side of caution, and we watch these updates from the CDC, the Department of Health of New Mexico, the State Department of Health, and the governor's office, and keep up with those mandates as they come in. So I think common sense will prevail, and hopefully we will disseminate with any more gatherings, even this large, as far as the city is concerned in the future. So Mrs. Hustick, if you can update us on what was done this morning.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and councilors. As you know, the governor's information over the weekend actually asked that all cities try to eliminate face-to-face meetings and also try to encourage telecommuting from work as well. And so we had our last meeting with department directors this morning from here on out, and the executive staff meetings will be done by GoToMeeting. So, but we had everybody in the room here spread out trying to model social distancing. But I have notes from our meetings this morning. This is fresh information. The mayor fortunately was there. And so if there's anything that I missed, I hope that department directors will fill in for me. So to implement the governor's latest directives, these are some of the things that we did this morning. And then I also want you to be aware of some other information in terms of our employees that we will be getting out today. So I've asked department directors to provide me by the end of the day their plan for each of their departments. I can't do this for them. They know their essential services and how to maintain them, and to tell me what employees can work from home. I know some departments are actually, as the county's doing, going to be implementing some shifts to try to reduce the density of workers and them being on staff at the same time, particularly in public utilities. I've given them a directive, no face-to-face meetings, individual work direction, so that if we do have employees that are working in the field, which we have to provide essential services, not to come in and drink coffee and give them direction, that they'll have to be done one-on-one. And they are working on their plans, and they'll get them to me by the end of the day. And we had, I think, a really good staff meeting this morning where I think a lot of good questions were raised, and I think we've addressed most of them. And I've given them the flexibility for them to do what they need to do in their departments to get the work done and to try to get as many employees working from home as possible. And our IT director also has ways that we can do some creative things with employees from home. I did want to mention that all employees that are working from home are on call if needed. I mentioned to them in the school district that all teachers are off, but they have to be on call, and if they're needed to disperse meals to kids or to come in and clean the classroom, they have to be able to come in. So I wanted to stress that this is not a vacation, that people will need to be on call. I also wanted to stress that all employees will be paid for their normal hours. We have their budgeted salaries anyway. Obviously, our GRT is probably going to decline. Obviously, our revenues are going to decline, but that's why we have fund balance for these types of emergencies, and we have a healthy fund balance. So I just wanted to stress that, and we will be getting that information out to employees by the end of the day, but I know you would have questions about that. We have stopped all seasonal hiring for closed facilities. That's obviously pretty self-explanatory, and so that's on hold until facilities reopen. The one thing two things I wanted you to be aware of is that in consultation with John DeYoung, customer care in-person payments are being suspended. Of course, we take payments online, by phone, by mail, and Dropbox, and people can get cashier's checks. We will be getting that out to the public this afternoon, but I wanted you to be aware of that because there might be some questions about that. And another the question that came up that we'll be including in our press release is that, just for your information, Cecil Garcia membership payments are being prorated for March, and they'll be suspended until the facility opens, because I know we've gotten some questions about that. We're reviewing all of our services, and we'll keep you apprised if there's any others that we feel need to be discontinued at this time to ensure our safety and the public safety. But we will keep you apprised of that. But those are the only two that I have for you today. And a press release will go out by the end of the day with this information. I just wanted you to be aware of that. And of course, you'll be provided that. And then we're going to have one single number to call for questions. We'll have a backup for that. We might even have voicemail, but that number is 863, 1254. Okay, so that's a direct number to the city clerk's office, and we'll have backup for that. But we thought it was very important that people don't call around and that they have, and Al's smiling. He has volunteered to have that go to his office because he said they call them anyway. And the city manager's office will be backup for that. So just in case, so the calls get answered. I also, Jennifer does not be doing tourism right now, and so she's also our marketing manager. So she has developed a draft crisis communication management plan for COVID-19. We met on that after the staff meeting this morning. We have teams in place. We have a system to ensure, as the mayor said, precise and consistent information on a daily basis. And so I just wanted you to be aware of that. As soon as we finalize this, we'll get you a copy. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple, but I think this, I commend her for working on this with me over the weekend. She's done a good job, but I think this is very, very important. There's so much information out there, and we need to be a source of consistent and timely, and also with a positive tone. I think is there anything else, Chewy or Jam, city attorney? Those are kind of the high points from our meetings today, and we will keep you apprised, and we'll certainly, and if there's anything really urgent, we'll call you.
So will we?
Questions.
Will we still continue to have city council meetings?
Actually, that question came up too. Thank you. I should have thought of that. We have a meeting on the 24th, and we looked at the agenda, and I mean, there are things that need to be done. There are bid awards for Allison Substation. There are some really important items on the agenda. I think, and I talked with our fire chief and emergency manager, and he agreed that we certainly can continue the meetings. We need to honor whatever limits on mass gatherings are in place at the time. Now it's 50, it could be 25, it could be 10. So we would then limit public attendance as mandated by the state, and we would ask people to please spread out. But yes, we do feel like we need to have that meeting. And the next meeting after that, we'll see where we are. Okay. It just depends on the direction we're getting from the state. But good question, thank you.
There is the potential that city council meetings might continue without public attendance, but all that will be calculated on the day-to-day basis. Yeah. What I want to read real quickly is, as of this morning, the New Mexico Department of Health Cabinet Secretary put out her latest directives, and it says, I hereby direct that all mass gatherings are hereby prohibited under the powers and authorities set forth in the New Mexico Public Health Act. She has still 100 plus people in gatherings. The CDC this morning came out with 50 plus gatherings. So I have a feeling our state will probably follow in suit. And I'm saying this for the benefit. I see we have some public businesses here, and I want to clarify where we're at after I read what her directions are. It says all restaurants, bars, breweries, eateries, and other food service establishments shall operate at no greater than 50% of maximum occupancy and no greater than 50% of seating capacity. Individual tables and booths may not seat more than 6 people, and all occupied tables and booths shall be separated by at least 6 feet. Patrons may not be seated at bars, and standing patrons shall not be served. All casinos and horse racing facilities and attendant restaurant and bar operations shall close during the pendency of this order. This directive excludes casinos operating on tribal lands. I know the governor is having a meeting today with the tribal leaders of the state, and I have a feeling by the end of this day, the tribal casinos will be under this order also. But the interesting part of all this is, and for you public, private, and talking to our city attorney from Thursday on, these are directives. You know, the city is going to comply with everything that is stated to us as far as private entities. I would hope that they, you know, we're putting them out as suggestive, and it's a direct order from the Department of Public Health, but we don't have the policing authority at this time. Will that change this week? It could possibly change, and that will put many communities within our state under a lot more suppression to go out and police facilities. But at this point, we will not be doing that. The fire chief will be handing out information to public venues that have restaurants and gathering spots of more than 100 people and let them know what the Department of Health is declaring at this point. So with that, unless you want to correct that, Mr. Hayes?
No, that's all accurate.
Okay. So with that now, Council, we can open up to any questions for the City Attorney, City Manager, Chuy, or any other staff members. I see none. This is pretty cut and dry. You know, we've been watching it on the national news. It's inundating our news. It's inundating the websites. But we want to be very clear. I'm hoping that the local media, both newspapers and radio stations, will take on the public service announcement decrees that we've had over the years, and will publish everything that the city gives them at no charge. It shouldn't be a charge. We need to keep our public informed. But the importance of this is to disseminate information as quickly as possible. So hopefully we will have everything out that we've discussed this morning and today by this afternoon, and to the public papers, which will be out tomorrow. But then new information might come in this afternoon, tomorrow. We missed printing deadlines, but we need to be very diligent on getting this information out to the public to keep away the panic and all that. If you read, if you watch the internet, it's just too much on the toilet paper crisis. I read on the guns and ammunition this morning where a man that had never owned a gun before in his life went to buy one and ammunition because he was in the public buying stuff. We were fighting over quantities of merchandise. And does he feel a need to pull a gun on someone? You know, it's, you know, we need to hopefully our community, common sense will prevail. We have a great community, and people will relax and take your time. If you go to a store and they don't have the necessity you need today, it'll probably be there tomorrow. I don't see that the chain inventory coming into grocery stores and things of that nature is going to change. But if it does, we will keep the citizens apprised. And at that point, the city might need to get into a distribution program on necessities, where things would be available to government that aren't available to the private sector. But we will continue to keep you apprised, and feel free to contact myself, city manager, city attorney, or the number that will go through the city clerk's office. They will disseminate the latest correct information that we have at our that's available to us.
Could I just make a...
Certainly.
Mayor, so I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I meant to tell you this too, because I wanted to compliment and reassure you. Our facilities manager, Mark Lujan, and his custodial staff are doing an outstanding job, and they are sanitizing our facilities, and I want you to know they were actually in here spraying before the council meeting. So I just wanted to let you know and reassure our citizens that they're doing that everywhere, and I wanted to compliment them and thank them. Sorry, Mayor, I forgot to mention that.
Well, please pass on to your friends, your family. The social distancing, as it is, we always come up with new words, but it does mean something, and they're suggesting 6 feet from the people, and stay at home if you don't need to be out. If we get to where we are leaving all city staff at home in the future, so be it. But it is our commitment to continue to provide the services to the city, to the citizens that live here. You will have water running. You will have, so I don't think you need to go buy cases of water. We have a great water supply. We will continue to have our electric come into the homes. Our police and fire will always be on duty. We will pick up trash as always scheduled. So the essential services needed for the community will not be affected at this point. Any other comments or questions by council? I want to thank all of you for coming out. And like us, we are going to be waiting and watching the information that is disseminated to us. The emails come directly to the city, to my email address that I disseminate to the city manager and the fire chief from the Department of Health. So we will be on top of this with our emails. Our phones work 24 hours a day, so we will keep all this information sent out to you as quickly as possible. And Mr. Lee, I'm glad you're here. I know that you and the county have measures intended, so we'll be anxious to work with you. I know the chief attended the emergency management meetings of all first responders last week, so that we're on top of it at this point. So thank you all so much. I wish you the best, and we'll be fine. We will be fine. So please take care of yourselves. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
I think we ought to do that.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Councilor Pelletier?
Yes.
Councilor Garcia?
Yes.
Councilor Wandavazo?
Yes.
Mayor McKinney?
Yes.
I believe we have takeout lunch from a local restaurant available to you.